This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 7, Episode 8. Hooters continues to be our presenting sponsor. We'll be there at some point this season with some of you listeners at a date and location to be announced. The Original Hooters brand is online at originalhooters.com with locations throughout the Tampa Bay area and easy online ordering. Thanks also to Bill Curry Ford for continuing to write checks to the winners of the podcast league, now known as the Federation. Sean Sullivan is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He would like to know if you would like to buy a car from him. Not now, necessarily, but anytime in the near future. And when you are, he'd like to meet you, and he'd like to hear what your needs are, and then help you with the process. I've gone through this process with Sean. He's very good at what he does. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, in Tampa, First Family of Ford, in Tampa Bay. Email for now, until I get healthy and might be able to reopen the old fantasy email, is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for your emails. No, I'm not at 100%, but still trying to push through with new episodes each week as it relates to, for those of you who don't know, got caught in, there was this huge thunderstorm that flooded Disney early last week, and I got caught in it trying to get out of the park. I was already trying to leave, so I wasn't going to hang around. It was like, well, let's just go. And myself and one other have paid the price for it, but what else were we going to do at that point? And the park flooded after we left. We were specifically at Epcot. So coming around, I apologize for the coughing or the pauses or the weakness of my voice, but we've spent a lot of this week and will continue to do so on setting up leagues. I've talked about eliminating the tight end as a mandatory position, implementing the wide receiver tight end flex instead, and just how much easier that makes fantasy life for so many players. And eliminating the mandatory tight end doesn't necessarily change who the best fantasy player is in your league. It doesn't. Excuse me. Then we talked about my Big Bang Theory episode name for adjusting kicker scoring so it has less impact, but it prevents you from dropping kickers entirely. The points actually say, as I study them every year, there are more relevant kickers, and this is in my scoring settings, in fantasy football than tight ends. So for those of you that years ago dropped the kicker, but still staunchly play mandatory tight end, you're hypocrites. You're just fucking hypocrites. Because there are more kickers in my reduced kicker scoring settings that I talked about last episode in terms of point production than there are relevant tight ends. No excuse. Today, let's talk about the wild card. Now, in total points leagues, this does not apply. But a majority of leagues that I have commissioned, played in, and I would imagine for many of you as well, have that head-to-head personal element. I'll just throw out some names for my foundation league. It's me against Sean, or Joey against Tara, or Ben against Doc, or SD against Greg, right? There's that element, because there are personalities that play in every league, and there's that sort of extra incentive each week to have a matchup against a particular person in the league. And then you get to the playoffs, and it's heightened even more. I've talked more than a few times already this season about my long-standing rivalry, which honestly it isn't a rivalry because Sean beats the hell out of me every time we play for a championship. So he's the hammer, I'm the frickin' nail. So it's not a rivalry. Sean versus Todd. It's not. He hammer, I nail. That's it. Thanks to Marcus Mariota's fibula and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, in head-to-head leagues, we all know that you can have a situation where you look at the weekly results and you've been this team, right? You had the second highest scoring week. Let's say you're in a 12-team league. You had the second highest point total for the week, but your opponent had the first highest. And you look at those other winning teams, and they're 10, 20, 30, or more points less than you. And it bothers you. Now, from an actual football standpoint, that can happen, right? You can have a game between Giants and Eagles, and the Giants put up 35 and lose the Eagles 42-35. And then at the same time going on, say, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers score 13 and actually beat the Lions this year instead of tying them 13-6. So you're the Giants fan and thinking, what is wrong with us? It's bad enough we haven't had a winning record at any point the last five seasons. Now we put up 35 and it's not even good enough. Meanwhile, down in Pittsburgh, they score one touchdown and they win. I know it's relative to the opponent, and in fantasy, it's not. There's nothing that, if I lose to Sean again, Sean isn't doing anything to suppress the point production of my guys. Even if his quarterback and my wide receiver on the same team, that quarterback isn't purposely not throwing to that wide receiver. There isn't collusion there. All right. But you have this. The definition of a strong fantasy week is how many points you score. And that's where the head-to-head creates a bit of a flaw. Within the framework of the regular season, it'll often work itself out. Often. Best example of this, sorry, Bengal Ralph. By the way, Bengal Ralph, what are you complaining about? You can't complain to me that I'm going to use you as a reference here. Your Bengals just went to the Super Bowl. You have Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bearcats went undefeated, went to the playoff, and you kept your head coach. I mean, the Reds are a lost cause. We all know that. All right, so I'm going to use Bengal Ralph as an example here. 2 years ago in the Federation, Bengal Ralph was right at or tied for the best spot in the league. And I sent out an email sort of saying, here's where everybody is at the midway point. And I offered some opinions. And I irked. Oh, did I irk. Bengal Ralph, by questioning his strength of schedule, a very college football-like argument. And it was at the perfect time of year where that argument was being used, I forget against what college football team. Ralph didn't like it. And I just simply said to Ralph, I stand by it. What Ralph didn't realize was it was simple math, and I was playing the odds. He had not scored at a high enough level to maintain where he was in terms of the standings. He had been fortunate that in most weeks to that point, he had simply played a less productive fantasy team. And shortly after I sent that email that irked him, he started to regress in the standings. Doesn't always work out that way. It humored me that it did, and Ralph now knows what I'm talking about. So, a number of years ago in the Foundation, and it was more recently implemented in the Federation, we put in the wild card, and going back to 2019 was a terrific example of what the wild card can do. We had an owner named Val, and I honestly don't know Val that well. She's not, as far as I know, a podcast listener. I was visiting a longtime friend of mine who has bartended early in his life to make his primary income, later in life just to make extra income. And I would often sit at his bar, have a drink, order takeout. It was delicious food. He's worked various places. And we'd just catch up on sports, people we know, and bad television shows. Right? All of you have a friend like this. So, as I'm doing it, it was sort of leading up to the beginning of the 2019 fantasy season. And he suddenly looks to my right or my left, and he says, "I'm sure Val will have some opinions on this." And I leave people alone at bars, and I didn't even know she was there. And there was a woman sitting there named Valerie. And Valerie just started offering, not a lot, but acknowledging the conversation. So I simply said to her, "If I have a spot, would you like to join us?" And she said, "Sure." She showed up and she played. Her draft didn't stand out to me either way, as good or bad. But she was a good owner. She did everything I asked her to do. But as that season played out in 2019, she just kept losing almost every week. But she had bad luck. She was scoring. Was just that owner that year. Who each week had a bad draw. So sure enough, we get to the end of that regular season, and based on wins and losses, she's dead last, but we had implemented the wild card. And I know in Yahoo leagues, prior to the playoffs starting, they allow you to adjust the playoff seedings, move people in, move people out. There's a reason for this, and it's the wild card. Prior to that season, I announced, independent of wins and losses, the final playoff spot will be awarded to whomever doesn't get in based on wins, and the only thing that matters is total points to get the last spot. You will be the last seed. She got that, and it wasn't even close. She had to win head-to-head in the playoffs to advance. She did. She won the podcast league. From dead last in the regular season wins losses, earned the wild card based on total points, and then boom, boom, boom. I think she won more games in the playoffs than she did in the regular season, and she was our champion. And that's why I invited her back last year to give her a chance to defend. It didn't go well for her, but she couldn't defend in 2020 due to her location during to the pandemic. Brought her back in 2021. Thank her for playing. She didn't make the postseason. It happens. The wild card rewards the team that has the bad schedule draw. I highly recommend if you are in head-to-head leagues, you announce the wild card. That no matter how many games you lose, if you earn enough points, you will be rewarded with the last playoff spot. Now you can do this one of two ways. I do it very general. Let's say it's a 12-team league, and the top seven get in on wins. And granted, what's the second tiebreaker usually after wins? Total points. All right, so we're not going that far down here. The eighth spot is only total points. You could have eight wins, you could have one win. Total points is all that matters. I know some only award a wild card if you have the most total points in the league. I don't necessarily think that's right. Now, if you do have the most points in the league, which I think Val did, she was either number one or number two. Did I say she had more points than anyone else in the league? She was one or two. Still, based on the pool below all but one playoff team, I think that's where we draw from. I've often used a college football term to describe it, the group of five. So in a 12-team league, they're the bottom five that aren't getting in on wins and then total points. It's just the total points that matter. You get the eighth seed or whatever it would be for your league. Consider the wild card. It takes the edge off that, I'll say 60% of the time, there's a team in a league that has a bad schedule draw head-to-head. They're scoring well each week. They're a good fantasy team. And if you're just going on wins-losses as the number one way to get in the playoffs, they ain't getting in. This removes that. And if you say, well, what about the team we're bumping? Look at their total points compared to the one you're putting in. All right? You're getting a better fantasy team than had you just gone on wins alone. Any questions about that? Excuse me, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let me wrap this podcast before I start coughing anymore. Thank you for listening to this one. We'll have a new one for you tomorrow. Appreciate you listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.